If you would please bow with me. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you so much for all that you do. Father, we thank you for the gift of worship. I thank you for each member here, each person who is chosen to be to recognize you on this day. Father, I pray that you will bless our time together, that you will bless our ears and our minds so that we could hear your word and we can take it in. Father, I pray that you will say what you want said in the next few moments. Father, that you would obscure the speaker and that you would shine light on your spoken word. God, give us hearts willing to be changed. Give us minds willing to be focused on you. In Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen. First of all, in preparation for my sermon, I'm always in the back, you know, because I don't like wearing this thing all day. So I go in the back and I'm getting it on right during that last song. And I'm standing by the communion table on that side, and I see that someone has left me a really nice pair of glasses on that side for a Christmas present. And I don't know who served on that side, but these are Maui Gems, which are nice. I really appreciate that. I've always wanted a pair of these. Let me think. Craig, did you work on that side today? Well, it was you? Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed in life is the next best thing to having money is knowing someone that does. And there you go, brother. I was going to keep those, but then I realized that I was coming up here to preach, and that probably would not be the thing to do. Anyway, turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to be there for a little bit this morning as we continue this idea of a Christmas gift for everyone. Now, are the little girls in here? Okay, they're all okay. Good. This past week, we've been doing some wrapping at our house. Now, Madison and Morgan can't read yet; they're in kindergarten. But you know what they can read? They can read their name. So one of the things that they have done is they've crawled under the Christmas tree and they started looking at presents. And they know that everyone that lived in the house before them's name starts with an H. And everyone of them, their name starts with an M. So they've been piling through that, and they see H. I don't know, that might be Hayden Hyde anyway, but it's not an M. They see H, H, H. So they've realized, there's nothing for me. There's plenty for them. It just isn't wrapped just yet. So what we've done is we've got to get a couple under there for them. Because everyone wants, I'm not going to say anything about anything, relax. Half the moms over here are giving me the big eyes like, relax, I'm not new. Like I'm just going to start going down the list. Unbelievable. Everybody wants something under the tree for them. That's the point I'm trying to make. That when you can at least read your name, you start pilfering the stuff to see if there's anything under the tree for you. Now, for about a minute, I'm happy that there's stuff for other people. After that, there better be something for me. Everybody thinks that. I was a kid and you ask mom, what do you want for Christmas? And she says, oh, nothing. I just want my children to get along and have a great day. And I find myself saying that too. Baloney. We all want something. All right? And in God's infinite wisdom, in His infinite love and mercy, in His caring and compassion, there's a gift for everyone. And it is individual. And I can't say that enough. Our gifts are individual. They may not be unique to us. They, you know, some of us might get the same thing or a version of it, but it is so individual. We do not have to, in a sense, share our gifts. Not one thing for everybody. We all get our personal, individual gifts from God that we all enjoy on an individual basis. And this morning, I want to continue that with this, the gift of freedom. The gift that we have this morning is the gift of freedom. That, and Jesus doesn't just give us this gift. He lives this gift in front of us. And in John chapter 8, 31 through 36, I want to read what he says here. He tells us about the reality of living in Him. He says, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered to Him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So the Son sets you free. You will be free indeed. I love that. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And we're going to get a little bit deeper into that wording as we go along, but one of the things that I love about Jesus is that when He needs, sometimes He's kind of evasive. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Very straightforward question. Jesus kind of evades the question because the question really isn't the question. The question is, how can I be in control of my salvation? So He's kind of evasive. But here, He's very direct. First of all, Jesus says, you need freedom. And then He says, I will set you free. Not only does He teach that, but He lives it. One of the things that is over and over and over about Jesus is that you will not restrain Him. Jesus proved that what He was willing to do, or what He was able to do, was be born any way He wants. He's the King of Kings. He is God among us. He is Emmanuel. And what we would think about the birth of someone of such importance is like the birth of one of the royals today over in the United Kingdom. Man, when Princess whatever is going to have a baby, and boy, everybody knows, and everybody's aware of it. And I mean, just the best hospitals and the best doctors. I mean, you think that she's going to some baby doctor that graduated, 49th in his class from the University of the Dominican Republic? No. I mean, the best of everything, because that is the prince. That is, someone important. And so when we think of the King of Kings being born, we would think of all of this fanfare and of all of this, the best of medical everything. And Jesus says, no. I'll be born how I want to be born. You think that only the most noble, only the most important, they would get the news first. No. Actually, I'm going to tell the lowest. I'm going to tell the nobodies. And then you would think His life would be heralded, and that He would grow up in the finest of this or the greatest of that and the best of the education, all of those things. No, He grows up very obscure in a small corner of the world. And then when the Messiah, when the Savior is recognized, and when He brings about His kingdom, you would think that there would be this great military conquest, that He would, come in and set all of Israel free from Roman occupation. No, my kingdom's not of this world. See, Jesus was not bound by our expectations of Him. He proved that over and over. Jesus was free to be exactly the Savior that He wanted to be. He was free to be born how He wanted. He was free to live, and He was free to die. I mean, because that doesn't make any sense, does it? That the Lord and Savior would be hung on a cross, would be executed like a common criminal. Even his closest people that's not how it should be. That's how it's going to be. Because I can do this any way I want. See, He lives that life to give us that same gift of freedom. We live the way that we are called to live, not the way that we're expected. Not the way that the world thinks it ought to be. Not the way that anybody outside of Christ thinks or imagines or anticipates or even wants. Jesus said, you're free to live the life that I've called you to live. You know, the Christmas is different for everybody. And I've shared this before, is that, and it's taken me a while to get to this, but at our house, Christmas is ridiculous. Just, you know, paper and piles and all this other stuff. And a lot of times people, oh man, you do too much, you do this, you do that. You know, and I read something on Facebook of all places where someone was very encouraging. And they said, you know, I have grateful kids. And we don't shower them with gifts all year long. For their birthdays, they get a little outfit and that sort of thing. And they don't just get stuff. But Christmas, we do ridiculous. I mean, my kids are going to look back on and just remember insane Christmases. And that's okay. That's okay. Because we're free to do it the way that we want to do it. And to a degree, God is saying, you know, you're free to do this life in a God-glorifying way that is above judgment from everyone else. Everyone outside of Christ, and sometimes even those within Christ. The gift that we are given is a gift of freedom, not to conform, not to have to, not to need to. The first thing that Jesus teaches us, that there is a possibility of freedom. You know, one of the things that is so traumatic for those who are incarcerated is thinking that there is no hope to ever not be incarcerated. That's why prison ministry is so important for rehabilitating prisoners. Is because people from the outside going and ministering to people on the inside, it gives them one thing that they can't get in there, and that is hope that there is something beyond their incarceration. And in God's wisdom, He knows we need to know, we need to believe, we need to feel there is a possibility of freedom. And this freedom is spiritual. He tells us, says, look, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the set you free part is this spiritual freedom that every one of us needs. Because the one thing that we really can't control, the one thing that we really have a hard time wrapping our minds around is this part of us that we can't see. This part of us that we know we have, that we can feel. And that's this spirituality. I mean, that's really tough for us to handle. That there's something about us, something beyond us that we can't control, that we can't see. We know it's there, and it is this soul, this spiritualness, this connection with God, this beyondness that connects us with what is beyond. And Jesus is saying that That's the part of you that I can set free. Your body might be in bondage. Bondage to sickness. Bondage to incarceration. Bondage to addiction. Your body might be trapped, but I can free your spirit. And that freedom is purposeful. It isn't just an arbitrary freedom for us to go and do as we please. It is a purposeful freedom for us to be able to conform to the likeness of Christ. Because the world will tell us, you have to do things this way. You have to value this. You have to think that this is more important than that. And what Jesus is saying is that when I free your spirit, you are able to value what I tell you is valuable. You're able to put purpose to something that's purposeless. The world will tell you that relationships aren't that important. The Bible will tell you, God will tell you, that's the most important thing that there is. You don't sacrifice relationships for anything. Not money, not status, not stuff, not respect, nothing. Read the Sermon on the Mount and see if Jesus doesn't tell you that relationships with other people is the most important thing in the world. Nothing will stand in the way of your relationships. If someone does you wrong, you go to them and you figure out a way to make it right. If someone takes something from you, then you don't stand on the principle or your rights. You give them something else to show them that you are more important than this. Friends, that's freedom. That is purposeful, spiritual freedom. There's a possibility. We do not have to live as slaves. But not only is there a possibility of freedom, but there are also perils of freedom. There are ways in which it can go wrong. And the first thing that Jesus talks about is the ignorance of freedom. You see, what do the people that don't know their slaves don't know about freedom? The Bible over and over and over again talks about this living in darkness. That in Jesus there is light, but living in darkness is not knowing of the walls that restrain you, not knowing of the bars that hold you back. Living in darkness is an inability to see the chains that bind you. So there's an ignorance about this, a lack of knowledge that freedom, not only is it not possible, but it's not even needed. It's not something that I really need. I'm free to do what I want. Are you? Because he says, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. See, people think that they do what they want to do, but they don't. Because sin has this over and over and over destructive characteristic to it, doesn't it? And people continue to choose and choose and choose. Why? Because I'm free? No, because you're bound by it. Not only is ignorance a peril of freedom, but arrogance. What do the Pharisees say when Jesus says that, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free? They'll say, I've never been a slave. I don't even need it. I don't believe that I've ever been a slave. And so this arrogance is a lack of appreciation for the true freedom that God is giving us. Because it's different than not knowing about it. It's denying, even when the lights are turned on and you see the chains, denying the fact that the chains are even there. Somehow, because of who I am or what I'm able to do, I'm not bound like everyone else. I've never been a slave, they said. Jesus says, oh yeah, you are. And then there's the reluctance to accept freedom, because with freedom comes responsibility. There's a reluctance. Those who believed, those who are scared, they believe in Jesus. They understood, but they were scared to exercise that freedom. We know people like that. We know people who would rather be bound by tradition bound by law, bound by all sorts of things, than to be free. The Galatians ran into this problem. Paul had to tell them, "What, you were running such a great race, you were doing so good, and now you're reluctant to live this free life that Jesus has come, that He has lived and died and resurrected to give you. Jesus has given you this freedom, but you're so reluctant to live it so that you allowed yourself to be trapped back in the same prison." So many people who are struggling with addiction are reluctant to be set free from that addiction because somehow that starts to be a defining factor for them. An excuse almost. I can't accomplish. I can't overcome. I can't be anything other than this. And they allow this pig pen of an existence to be their Taj Mahal because I'm reluctant to step out of it and to see what's on the other side. And then there's complacency. There's just a lack of caring about it. Or a lack of completeness. You see what Jesus says. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, verse 35. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And you know what that word means? You will be free completely. Free completely. You see, because complacency when it comes to freedom is probably one of the most dangerous perils. Because it's one thing to be free and to be sort of free, but it's a whole nother thing to be free indeed. Completely free. Free there's no area of life that this freedom does not touch. You see, I'm free to worship. I'm free to live the life that God's calling me to live. But do we really want to experience God on an intimate, deep, calls to deep level? Free. I'm free to be poor. I'm free to be generous. I'm free to go to the ends of the earth. I am free to bless my children as they walk into some of the most dangerous countries in the world for the glory of God. I am free. I'm free to pray for those kids as they're all over the world. I'm actually free. Free to die. Free to die an obscure at times. Free to die a violent at times. Free to die a meaningless death for the glory of God. Jesus taught me that. Because when He stands before Pilate says, why are you acting like this? These people say that you've said some things, and they said that you're doing this, and you're not even answering your critics. You're not even answering your accusers. Do you not know that I have the power to give you life or to set you free or to send you to death? And Jesus said to him, "You don't have any power over me that I don't give you. And if I'm giving you the power to kill me, then so be it. I'm free to die." This morning, are we free to die? Are we bound by fear, bound by reluctance, bound by everything that makes this life precious? Jesus was free, completely free. He could have lived the richest life possible from all accounts. He was as close to homeless as it gets. He was free to be as well known, but he was free to be an obscure rabbi from a small part of the world. He was free to call 10,000 angels, but he died. He gave that life. He said, "You don't have power over me because I'm free to die." Not only are there perils, but there's a process to this freedom. You know, there's statements here. Jesus says that if, verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There are these if-then statements throughout this that there is a process involved. There is a growing process into this freedom. And he goes on to say, you know, a slave has no part of the family. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the process that we have to understand is that we don't earn this freedom. We don't fight for this freedom. You know, one of the things that we hear a lot about right now, especially in the election process, is all about, you know, how great our country is. And I don't disagree with that at all. And how, you know, the freedom and so many people that have fought and bled and died for our freedom. And I agree with that 100%. The freedom that we experience here in America is something that was fought for and died for. And it was earned by those and others and some who are in this room. But the freedom that we have in Christ is not something that we earn. It's not something that we fight for. It is something that we accept from Him. We don't attain it. So there's freedom in my word, not our word, in His word. It says, if you're my disciples, then I will set you free. This morning, I'm asking, can you accept the greatest gift that God has ever bestowed upon any? Because it is through this gift that we accept most others. I am free to believe. I am free to have faith, to exercise that faith. This morning in our adult class, we're talking about James and the you know, how, you know, taming the tongue and all of that. We are free not to say the things that come into our minds. We are free to give God all the control. I'm free. Will you be free? Will you be free to exercise belief and faith in God? Free to have hope? When there is no hope, when everything's falling apart, will you be free? Free to not be told how to live by the world. Free to not be restrained by the lack of faith of others. Will you be free? This morning, you are free to respond to God's call. You are free to where the world would say things that you're bad at, things that you know, your failings, you know, those are things to be embarrassed of and not let anyone know. Those are things that you have to deal with on your own. This morning, you are free to lay that before your God and your family. If you're struggling, feel free to walk down this aisle, to meet me up front. Whatever it is, this is a place where you're free to lay that out, because this is a place that is free from judgment. Be an example this morning. Lay your burdens at the foot of the cross before your family to be prayed with, prayed over. You are free this morning to die. Die in the watery grave of baptism. You are free to be raised again in a brand new life. Whatever your need is, you're free. Would you join me up front if that is your need, as together we stand and as we sing?